You know, I saw a thing on Reddit and it said, if you haven't spoken for like days on end and you're about to speak and you're worried about speaking, just hum and then you'll be fine.
Okay.
Hello.
Hello.
The key is not to...
I'm here.
The key is, I think...
Sorry.
I think the key was not to start the conversation humming. My name's Will.
And my name's Steve.
You haven't got time to read War and Peace.
Even if it is one of the greatest novels of all time. 587,000 words, 612 grams.
That's the weight of the book.
500 characters,
361 chapters,
3 volumes,
2 epilogues,
and a collection of maps. We're going to summarise all of it for you.
This is War and Peace
in just 7 years.
Will!
Steve!
We're here!
Oh!
We're ready to quiz!
We are ready to quiz!
And we'll turn the energy levels down a smidge, but we're keeping, keeping them high still, though.
Keep them up, though.
In a way that people will want to listen to.
We're excited, but keep them down.
We are excited. We're ready to quiz. We've been away for a few weeks. Maybe you don't know that, but we have. We've been away in different places.
We have.
And now we're back. We're ready to quiz. We're ready to remember book 4 before we embark on book 5.
Oh, that was very poetic. But I am also bubbling with excitement for the book 4 catch-up quiz.
Do you fancy your chances this time you have lost?
Oh,
sorry to tell. Sorry.
Are you sorry?
Sorry.
Yeah.
But I have to speak the truth. You've lost.
I have to say it, though.
You've lost the last 3.
How many have there been?
There's been 3. You've lost all of them.
Yeah, I know.
And
what? And what?
Do you think you're going to lose this one?
No.
No, you think you're going to win?
Do you know why I'm going to win?
Yeah?
Because I've done what you do and I've written really, really bloody hard questions.
Okay, I think I'm fair.
You're not fair.
I think I'm fair, to be honest.
Disagree.
I think I'm fair. I disagree to your disagreement.
Steve, watch this. Can you see what I'm doing? What am I metaphorically doing?
Oh, not sure. Not sure I'm allowed to say.
I'm removing invisible what?
It looks like you're stroking the beak of a dolphin.
or removing invisible gloves.
Taking your gloves off.
Yeah.
Gloves are off. You know what? I also fancy your chances as well.
Thank you.
I'm not going to say I had a dream that you won.
Don't.
But I definitely...
You'd never say that.
I definitely thought it earlier.
Did you?
I thought maybe Will might win.
Did you shiver and go cold?
Yeah.
There's only one way to find out, isn't there?
There's only one way to find out who's going to win. And that is to do the quiz. So
that's a good link. That's your best one, mate.
Thank you very much. And Will, maybe you can say the thing about the music. You like that?
I do actually like that. Cue that really, really stupid game show music.
Okay, we're just going to flip something quickly to decide who goes first. We haven't got a coin or anything.
Flip the crisps.
We'll flip this crisp packet. We'll let it float to the ground. Will, do you want ingredients or advertising?
Advertising. He's throwing the crisps.
It's ingredients.
What does that mean?
I think I get to choose. I'll go first.
All right, mate. You can go first then.
Round one. Okay, well, we've got a certain number of points up for grabs. It's never entirely clear how many points there
doesn't
are.
Doesn't matter.
We'll work it out at the end.
Yeah.
But do, if you're at home, if you're out and about, if you're on a train, do play along.
Play.
Write the notes down on your phone. Send us your score. It's going to be great. Okay, here we go. Question one. Okay, I've got an easy one here for you, Will, to get you going. Really nice and easy. It is actually easy. You should know.
Brilliant. Good.
You'll remember, Will, back in episode 67 of War and Peace in just 7 years, Nikki and Dolokhov had a completely fair, completely legitimate, and completely fair game of ping pong cricket cards.
I remember the fair game.
Absolutely fair game.
Yeah.
And it, unfortunately, though, due to Nicky's inexperience, really.
At ping pong cricket cards.
Yeah, and his poor skill. his poor playmanship.
Yeah.
He lost.
He did.
He lost every time, and he ended up losing 43,000 rubles.
Oh, I already knew that. I thought that was the question.
No, that's not the question. The question is, of course, how much?
Oh, for God's sake.
And I told you 2 episodes ago, how much is 43,000 rubles worth in modern day money?
It's like being tortured doing this show. The same things just keep coming back.
Keep coming up. And until you learn the conversion rate from 1805 rubles...
We'll never agree.
...to modern day pounds or dollars, according to random people on the internet... God. I'm not going to stop.
Fine.
So I'm looking for an answer in pounds or dollars. I'm going to give you 30,000 of whatever currency, either way. And there's also a bonus point up for grabs. I'll tell you about the bonus point later.
Oh, I can't remember. It's between two numbers. I think I'm just going to go with my gut.
Do go with your gut. It's helped you so far.
it's trust, harsh that.
Trust your gut, yeah.
$250,000.
Oh, what a shame.
Oh, come on. Was it 300,000?
You'd have got the point if you'd have said that.
Oh, I had 300,000 written in my little book.
I don't care.
That's fair. That
I'm
is fair.
Sorry. You were so close, because if you'd have said £250,000.
Oh.
You'd have been Lord almost exactly right. So I was looking for $321,000
right.
or £240,000. That's according to someone called Kid Faye on Reddit.
That's someone else this time.
So
you're changing your source every time.
Will,
what?
There's a bonus point.
Good.
Up for grabs. You could get it.
All right.
For the bonus point, I want you to tell me how much 43,000 rubles.
Oh, my God.
How much gold that would have bought you in 1805-6 sort of time in kilograms.
All right.
I'll give you five either way.
Yeah, cheers. 43,000 rubles. How much gold in the past in kilograms? I'm going to go with, what do I weigh? Yeah, I weigh like...
It's a good way to work it out.
85 kilograms, 90 kilograms.
Makes loads of sense.
Could you get me in gold?
Yeah.
117 kilograms.
Oh, that is a lot of gold. No, that's also wrong. I really did think you'd get a point there.
Did you?
That's a shame. That's a real shame.
Mm.
Yeah, that's according to another person on Reddit. I didn't get their name this time, but apparently they think,
yep.
they claim that 43,000 rubles in 1805 would have bought you about 50 kilograms of gold.
50 kilograms. That's like a large child's worth of gold.
That's a lot of gold.
It's a big child as well.
You know, and that I feel like that would be worth more than $321,000. But anyway, let's not dwell on the numbers.
Let's not dwell.
Question two. We've heard a fair bit about Emperor Alexander between this book and the previous book, maybe a lot more in the previous book. We've had a bit of him in this book.
Mm.
He's great. He's a wonderful guy.
He's incredible.
Brilliant guy. Nikki's a fan. Remind us all, what do we know about him?
He's great. He's got a great nose or a great chin.
Yep.
I think he's very handsome. I just love him. I love the guy.
Does he dress well?
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. Okay.
Is that the question?
Yeah, no. I'm just trying to get a picture of the man in the...
Sorry, Steve. Yeah, he dresses really well.
Perfect. Yeah. Well, it sounds like you know him really well.
I do.
It sounds like you know him extremely well, actually. It sounds like you could probably pick him out of a lineup.
Okay.
Okay, so I've got three paintings here of Russian emperors through the ages. They're all called Alexander.
Wow.
But which one is our Alexander? So listeners at home, you can play this as well. Just go on our Instagram. This is a plug for the Instagram, Will.
Really smart.
Worked in, thank you.
Really good.
At Wappin7 Podcast, and you can have a look at the pictures there. But Will, you get them up on your phone. Okay, well, so you've got three pictures there, and listeners at home, you get them on the Instagram. Have a look while we're talking. You've got three Alexanders there, all Russian tsars, emperors. but which one of them is the emperor we know and love, Alexander the First? Well, maybe you can talk us through your thought process as you look at them.
My initial thought is that they're all rather funny-looking gentlemen. Number one's very... He stood in a very sexy way.
Yeah.
He's gone for the monk haircut.
Okay.
So he's got bits around the side and then completely wet shaved on top.
I think he's got male pattern baldness. But
I think so, yeah. he's got a lovely hat with feathers on and he's got kinky little boots on.
Okay, so
he's very sexy, this
he's
one.
So option A is kind of the sexy one. Option B?
Option B looks like he's a cannibal of some sort. Maybe some type of demented butcher.
He's like the cannibal chef. He lives on a boat, maybe.
Option B, hands down, is the most terrifying man I've ever seen. I get the impression he's like 8 foot tall as well.
What's wonderful about these is that it's objectively a terrifying, awful painting.
It's so scary.
And he had it made, and it took a long time.
He had it made and looked at it and went, yep, that's me.
Option C.
Option C, look at this chap. He's got an exceptional mustache. He's got a little red jacket on. His boots aren't as kinky as option A's boots.
Right, okay. Well, you've had a good look at them, Will. I'm going to need an answer. Which one of them is Alexander the First?
It can't be B because no one could be in love with him.
I've got, just to help you, I've got a quote. He was described as the angel incarnate.
B is the devil incarnate.
Right, okay.
I am going with option C.
You're going with option C. Okay, so B was Alexander. They're all Alexander.
Yep.
It was Alexander the Third.
Oh, okay, good.
Also known as the Peacemaker. He was highly reactionary, reversed numerous liberal reforms, and opposed anything that limited his autocratic rule.
Also known as the Human Butcher.
Option C, which is the one you chose,
yep,
was Alexander.
Go on.
The Second, unfortunately.
It was Sexy Boy.
Known as Alexander the Liberator, he sold Alaska to America and was assassinated by revolutionaries. And Alexander the First was the sexy boy in the hot, hot boots.
he's a very funny looking man.
Very sexy, funny looking man.
If you're listening to this before you see the pictures, you're going to be shocked when you see him because I've said sexy so much now.
do go and have a look at Weapon 7 Podcast on Instagram. They are incredibly, incredibly sexy and interesting men. Question three. Time really flew by this season.
Oh, tell me about it.
Both for us and for the characters.
Yeah.
It felt like we had all the seasons, maybe once, maybe twice, three times perhaps, yeah, all the seasons, just spring, summer, autumn, yeah, and winter.
Yeah, yeah, that one as well.
All four of the seasons.
Yes.
And you know, back in the 1800s, if you bought up the four seasons, that's exactly what the people in Moscow would have thought about. They'd have thought about the seasons, spring, etc.
Yep.
But nowadays in Moscow, they might think about something different. They might think about the Four Seasons Hotel in Moscow.
Yeah, I thought you might be going there.
Oh. Yes, the Four Seasons Hotel in Moscow is the height of luxury, Will.
Without a doubt.
It's a bold reimagining of an earlier hotel that was there.
The Three Seasons.
No, just a different name.
Okay.
On the same place. It's got a spa.
Yeah.
And it also claims to offer an absolutely superb view.
Of?
From its grand premier suite. So, Will, for 1 point.
Oh.
What is one of the things that they claim you can see out of those suite windows?
Oh man, it's the thing. It's the big colourful castle thing.
There's four things you can say here, Will. You can see them all out of the window.
What if I don't know the name of the thing?
You'll get no points.
It's the thing, Steve. It's the colourful castle thing.
What colour?
The basilisk.
What colour is it?
It's all the colours of the rainbow. It's blue and it's pink. It looks like Disneyland. Okay. It's that thing.
Yeah, it does look a bit like Disneyland.
It does. St. Peter's. It's a cathedral.
No.
It is a big castle.
I'll give you half a point if you can say the right colour.
The red square.
The red square!
Yes!
Where did that come from?
Because of the colour.
Will, you were saying blue. You were saying, what? How do we go from blue? You were absolutely right. Red square, I'd have taken also Manizaya Square.
Yeah.
And Andreevsky Garden.
Okay.
All just the Kremlin.
Right.
So it's your first point. Question four. Okay, well, it's the final question of round one. How are you feeling?
I'm feeling pumped.
Okay, well, here it is. Let's see what you can do with this. We've had some very tense marriage proposals this season.
Yes.
Various ones. Dolokhov and Sonia.
Yeah.
Natasha and the ancient werewolf man, Denisov.
Yeah.
And in fact, for me, I don't know about you, but that was one of the most surprising revelations of this book.
Yeah, biggest shock.
The Denisov, all this time, he has been, we thought he was just a nice guy. Actually, he's been a millennia-old werewolf.
He has.
Trapped by an ancient curse
that
could only be broken by true love.
I thought we'd have picked up on that ages ago.
I really thought we'd have picked up on it. And yeah, I think we've read it correctly. So, but Will, here's my question. According to werewolves.com.
Sorry, say that website one more time.
Just according to werewolves.com.
.com, yeah. They got that.
They got that, yeah. There are two types of Russian werewolf.
Are there?
Yes. There's the, unfortunately, you don't know, given what's coming. But anyway, there's two types. There's the Wawakalak and the Bodark.
All right.
Bodark.
Yeah.
Maybe.
Maybe.
So, Will, for 1 point, which kind of Russian werewolf is Denisov and why?
Wallak. and Bodark. Right, well, Denisov is cursed. So I'm guessing, or hoping, one of those werewolves, to become one of those werewolves, you must be cursed by some type of witch or mythical, mystical being.
Okay.
So I'm going to go with... I'm going to go with the Wallach. Okay. And the reason I'm going to go with that is because he was cursed by some type of witch or wizard.
Okay, I think I'll give you the point.
Having the point regardless,
Steve. I think I'll give you the point. Because actually, I had gone for Bodark, but actually you made a good case. You gave a good case. I'll tell you a little bit about them both, and I'll tell you my argument, but I'll give you the point.
Thank you.
So here's a bit of info on the Wowkalak. Wowkalaks are people who have been turned into actual wolves permanently.
Oh, wow.
Because they... made the devil very upset.
Oh, it's the devil.
But they're quite nice, actually. They tend to visit their old family and lick their hands affectionately.
So weird.
But also, there's more. Part of the curse, that's why you got the point.
Nice.
Is that they're cursed constantly with the desire to want to go to other places. They're very...
They want to travel.
And so they roam
around.
I want
around. To see the world.
They're wolves. They like their family. They can't spend time with their family because they have to travel. So anyway, yeah, that's sure. The world with Kalak.
Constantly commuting.
Just as quickly, the Bodark.
Yep.
This is someone who actually wants to be a werewolf by choice. And right. So if you want to be a werewolf by choice and you're listening at home now, this is what you do. Pop into the kitchen and grab a small copper knife.
Oh, wow.
Run into the woods and go to a tree and stab the copper knife into a tree. Go around the tree a few times, repeating the chant, and then this will happen. Then he springs thrice over the tree and runs into the forest, transformed.
He jumps over the tree at the end.
You've got to jump over the tree at the end, and then you're a werewolf. So the reason I thought that was maybe more Denisov is just because they can turn back and forth.
Sure.
And they're not just up. But anyway, look, you made a great case. It was a very compelling argument, and so you got the point. Well done.
That was a bit weird.
Was it? All right, well, fantastic work there. You really pulled it back. You had some great moments. I'm happy for you. I'm excited for you, potentially, you know, you're coming in with a win here.
This crown is mine.
Do you want to know how many points you got?
I'd love to know.
I'll work them out. You got. 2 points.
Good. Round two. Question one. We open book 4 on a sledge, or perhaps some sort of cart. Travelling on the cart sledge were 2 big players in book 4, and they were getting absolutely wasted. I believe 3 bottles of wine were consumed during the course of the journey. For 0.33333 points
we've really swapped roles, haven't we?
The gloves are off, Steve.
Oh, my.
For 0.33333 points each, I would like the year and each drunken sledge-riding character's name.
Okay, I don't remember who was in the sledge, but I will have a guess later.
You will do.
I think the year must have been 1805, unless it was a flashback.
Okay, so you're going with the year 1805?
Yeah.
Okay.
Going with the year 1805. Oh, I'll say March. It's usually March, but I know there's no points for that. It's just a guess. Just a fun guess. A fun guess between friends.
Yes, a fun guess between friends.
Who would be in a sledge together? That's the question.
If only you'd listened to episode 1 of this season.
I'd listened to anything you'd said. Andy Pandy? No.
Look at him, he's shaking, Nick, listeners.
Nicky,
he's shaking.
Nicky.
All right.
Nicky and Denisov.
Nicky and Denisov is correct.
Oh.
Well done. So that's 0.666 points, but not 1 point, Steve, because the year is 1806.
What?
I know.
I'm so confused about how the years worked.
I thought the year is 1806 now in book 5.
I think mistakes were made either by us or Tolstoy, and there is no way to tell, sadly. So we'll have to move on.
There is none. Question 2. Steve, I would absolutely love to ask thou another fantastic and brilliant question. How doth thou feel? Is't thou ready? How are thou, Stevie?
I'm feeling really good, bit scared, but on the whole, good.
Have you guessed what this question's going to be about?
I think it's going to be about grammar.
It's going to be about grammar from the 13th century.
Uh-huh.
Steve, it's hard to forget all of the thou you nonsense between Nick and Sonia, And once again, thank you, Jessica, for helping us out with that. All I would like thou to do, Steve, is to say which of the following expressions are grammatically and socially appropriate for someone in the 13th century.
Sure, shouldn't be a problem. Absolutely fine.
This is a two-parter. So each part is worth 0.5000 points.
It feels bad to be on the receiving end of this.
For the first part, I'm going to read the same expression in two different ways. You've just got to pick the correct one. So here we go. Thou hast dropped jelly at my feet.
Okay.
And the second way. Thou hast dropped jelly at my feet.
Okay. A lot of it comes down to your acting ability.
I'll give you some help.
Okay,
should have been able to read this anyway.
Right.
The first one was said with contempt and scorn.
Right.
The second with respect and admiration.
Oh my God. This is so confusing.
Which one's correct?
I remember that there are rules, and I remember that these are the...
Oh, there are very specific rules.
I remember that these are the types of rules.
It's so confusing.
I don't know, Will. Is the second one correct?
Oh, you went with respect and admiration.
Sure.
Unfortunately, Steve, if I were to have said that with respect and admiration, I would have used you instead of thou.
Of course you would have done. Of course you would.
So that one's incorrect, not to worry. Part two. I'll set the scene.
Okay.
Me and you are out, and all of our friends and family are there.
Sounds strange.
Maybe we're at the zoo or the pub or somewhere else.
Uh-huh.
You, as always, have a lot of ham on you.
Of course.
I would like to ask for some ham whilst also expressing formality and neutrality.
Just in my pockets and stuff like that.
Yeah. So the key here is, Steve, I want the ham whilst also expressing formality and neutrality.
Because your family are around and you want to see them
deal.
Being... It's a big deal.
It's a big deal.
I get it. Yeah.
So here we go. First one. Stephen, would thou be ever so kind as to pass me a delicious slab of your sweet ham?
Uh-huh.
Or, Steve, would you be ever so kind as to pass me the ham?
Look.
Which one, Steve?
I know this. I remember this. It's a direct lift and shift.
It's a lift and shift,
this
buddy.
This is a lift and shift moment from the core bit in book four.
Yes.
When Nick and Sonia are talking to each other. And is it love?
Is it not?
Anyway, I know that's what it is. Do I know the answer?
Do you?
Do I? I'm going to say the second one again.
You?
Yeah.
Correct.
Yes!
Correct. Yes! It would have been really, really upsetting if you got it wrong, because we'd have made no progress.
Oh, I honestly, Will, a 50-50 chance. That's what's happened here.
Oh, honestly, Steve, well done. We do not need to ever discuss that again. Oh,
I wish it were true, Will, but I think that's really wishful thinking.
Question three. The episode was Time for Toast. Count Rostov puts on a truly diplomat party to honour Prince Baggy Bagration and all of his war-based achievements. My question is simple.
Including just surviving.
Including just being the one that's alive.
Being alive.
Yeah. My question, Steve, is very simple. Please name every single item that was on Count Rostov's party shopping list. I've got the list.
Yeah.
And there are 12 party essentials on it.
So it's 0 point.
So yeah, you're correct. Yeah. So you can have an incredible 0.1667 points per item and a bonus 1 million points for the whole list.
Okay.
So this question is actually for 1 million and 2 points.
That's a lot of points.
So there are 12 things, buddy. It's the party essentials list. Off you go.
Right. Well, this was my episode.
It was, mate.
So, you know, if I had a photographic memory and hadn't told you about it, you'd be in real trouble.
I would, mate. I really would.
But I haven't.
We've seen no evidence of that over the year, have we?
I haven't seen any evidence of it, and neither have you.
Either, no.
So let me have a go then. The gypsies, are they included?
I will take it. Gypsy singers.
Pineapples.
I will take it. Pineapples.
From the Thingy's Conservatory.
Very good so far.
I feel like there was some sort of fish on there.
Steve, I'll take it.
You'll take it.
Do you know what I've got on my list?
What?
Fish.
Okay, you feeling worried?
This is good. Your success is my success.
12 is a lot of items, though. Flowers.
Oh my God. Like, this is brilliant. Your eyes are rolled back in your head.
Yeah, but I'm only a third of the way through.
Yeah, but you're doing great. You enjoying yourself?
Not sort of. Yeah. Sort of. I'm reaching my limits, though.
All that fish, you're going to need something to dip it in, no?
Mayonnaise.
Yeah.
That was kind of you. Thank you. Mayonnaise.
That's all right, mate.
Mayonnaise was the main event, really.
Yeah.
Sterlets.
Oh, my word. He's only gone and got Sterlets.
I'll try a little bit
have
longer.
Have to rush you. No, yeah. You're not going to have longer.
Something to drink. Some wine.
No,
some wine.
Wine.
For God's sakes.
No, Steve, you're out. Well done for getting half, though. So
thank
that's
you.
1 point. And you really, seriously, you really earned that point. You missed asparagus.
Oh, wow, yeah.
Fresh cucumbers. I would would have taken it. Strawberries, veal, turtle soup. Inside the turtle soup was coxcomb.
Oh, of course.
I put that on as one.
Yeah.
And, of course, how do we wrap up the flowers? We wrap them up in felt.
Okay, I would never have got felt. I don't even remember reading about the felt.
I don't think you'd have got felt. But well done, mate. You got
Thanks.
1 point for that. All right, Steve, final question of round two. Baggy has arrived at his party. He's nervous, embarrassed, awkward, and shy.
Yes.
For 1 point, fill in the blank.
Uh-huh.
He walked shyly and awkwardly over the parquet floor of the reception room, not knowing what to do with his blank.
If this is for a point, and the other thing that I just did was such a nightmare. So why is it? Is it hands?
He's got a point. Look, I can be nice as well, Steve. Okay, I'm helping you out, buddy.
Look, I'll take the points wherever they come. I'll take
them. Don't argue. You earned that point.
I'd love to know how many points I got.
Would you?
Yeah.
It's going to take me a while to add them up because they're all so weird. Give us a sec. Okay, Steve, at the end of round two, you'll be pleased to know, it's annoying for me, but you got 3.1666 points.
Oh, that's more points than you.
That's more points than me, and that's a big problem. But well done. I'm happy for you because your success is my success.
Sort of. Round three. Okay, well, so you are behind. Now is your chance to win it back.
Yeah.
I've got a good first question for you. You really, honestly, you could win it back now.
All right, good.
There was an awful lot, Will, an awful lot of gambling.
There was.
This season, Will.
Yeah.
A lot of gambling.
Mm-hmm.
So for the first question of this round, I'm going to give you the chance to experience some of the fun and excitement of gambling.
Oh, I'm so excited.
So, Will, for this next question, there's 1 point up for grabs.
Right.
But on top of that, you can gamble with some or all of your points.
Right, amazing.
From the last round.
I'll always be gambling, yes.
If you get
I'm going to gamble regardless.
If you get it right, I'm going to double your points.
Amazing.
The ones that you gambled.
Incredible stuff.
If you get it wrong, I will unfortunately take the points you gambled away.
I know what gambling is. Yeah. I'm going to gamble.
Okay. So what are you going to gamble?
All of it.
You're going to gamble everything, right? Okay.
This is how I win, Steve. I'm gambling all of it.
Okay, fine.
No, all of it.
So you've got 2 points. Yep. You're going to gamble. Gamble 2 points.
Yep.
I mean, if you get it right, you'll get 5 points.
Yeah, amazing.
Okay, and if you get it wrong,
I have nothing.
You'll be on no points.
Whatever, I'm gambling.
Okay.
Steve, do you know what? I've generally got a good feeling about this.
All right, well, here's the question.
Brilliant.
Dolokhov, you remember him?
I do, yeah.
He had that duel.
He did, didn't he?
He got shot.
Yes.
And he spent a fair amount of time recovering at home.
Yes.
And he was at home, he was recovering with his lovely mum.
I feel nervous.
His lovely...
I feel nervous.
I think it's a fair question.
Okay.
It's okay.
All right.
Yeah, he was with his... He spent a long time at home.
Yes.
He was recovering with the help of his mum.
Yeah,
do you remember all that?
Mm-hmm.
Nice lady, that lady.
Nice lady, that mum.
Nice mum, that mum.
She's a good mum.
She's really nice. She's described as priceless.
Cool.
And for me... For the nice way that she was a mum, she was one of the main characters of that book.
Sure.
And so, Will, for 5 points, no points at all for you.
Yeah.
What is Dolokhov's mum's name?
That's tough. I thought you might say that because I don't know that.
Well,
look, we can work it out. You know.
I'll give you a couple of goes.
We can work it out.
Well, when you say we, I mean,
I'm talking about me and
it's just going to be you. But
it's just me, isn't it? We know some Russian women's names. We've got Anna. We've got Mary. We've got Vera.
Yeah.
All right. So it could be one of those, I guess. Dolokhov could be Dolly. Doreen. I'm going to lose all my points. Do you know, all right, my first guess, Maria.
I'm not going to give you sort of unlimited guesses.
Okay.
Just to say, so Maria's not right. I'll give you one more guess. I'll give you a big, big, this is really nice of me.
I'd like you to be nice to me.
This is a big hint. It's one of the names you've said.
Oh, wowzers. I was right. Tolstoy just has a very small list of Russian female names. It's either Mary or Vera. I would have said Maria. You just said that was close. So maybe it's Vera. So I'll go with Vera.
No! God, why?
I feel like Nick. I've lost everything. Was it Mary? Everyone's called Mary.
Oh, mate.
Oh.
It was Mary.
My word. I should have guessed Mary in the beginning.
You should have guessed Mary. Everyone's called Mary.
It's the first name I said because everyone's called Mary.
Oh, well, now you know exactly how Nick felt.
Oh, exactly. I feel sick.
You're on 0 points. It might be completely impossible for you to win now. Wow. What a question. That was big.
Yeah, what a roller coaster of a quiz.
Question two. There's 2 points up for grabs here, so you could be back where you started.
Perfect.
Before you answered that question.
Yeah.
We all know, Will, all of us, both you and me. Oh, you look sad, Will, but you just try and come along with the guy.
No, I'm fine. I'm ready. I'm focusing, Steve.
It would have been great to win the 5 points.
I'm
it would have been good for you.
It would have been good.
I wanted it as well.
I know
as
you
much
did,
for you.
Mate. You want what's good for me.
But anyway, look. Here we go.
Here we go.
We all know the history of ping pong cricket cards.
Yes,
we all know. It goes a long way back. Everyone plays it nowadays.
Yeah.
So it's very familiar.
Adored by millions.
We don't need to talk about
what
history
it is.
Or what it is.
No, it's silly. Waste of time.
Ping pong cricket cards. But some of the lesser known games that it shares its name with.
Yes.
What are they about?
Okay.
So for Will, for 1 point.
Yes.
I want you to put the sports of ping pong, cricket and cards into the order that they were invented, their earliest origins. And there's also a bonus point if you can tell me who invented cricket.
Oh, well, this is just a delightful question, Steve. What a lovely question. Well, look, I know for a fact that playing cards are incredibly old. So just, I mean, think of the technology required to make a ping pong.
sure. Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
So I'm going with cards earliest.
Yeah.
And then in the center of the timeline would be cricket.
Okay.
And then at the end would be our beloved ping pong.
You're correct.
Yes.
You got 1 point there.
One.
That's very, very good.
Okay.
Earliest known depiction of card play is from the romance manuscript Guron le Courtois from 1352.
Wow.
But people think that they were playing it out east.
Oh.
For ages before that.
And who'd blame
him? Who would blame him? Good old. You could play anything with cards, can't
exactly,
you?
Yeah.
Cricket by the 18th century was the leading sport in London, so it had been around for a while before that.
All right.
And ping pong.
Yeah. That was invented 3 months ago.
it will surprise you. Ping pong was invented in the 1880s, sometime around that time. It's thought maybe British army officers played with boxers, books and corks.
That doesn't sound like ping pong at all.
Fair point you raise.
They're just throwing books at each other, Steve.
No, the books are the net.
Oh, right.
And the cigar box is the bat. And
sure.
The cork is the ping pong ball.
Yeah. All right.
Well done, Will.
Thank you.
Can you desperately rake your points back by getting also the bonus point?
Hopefully.
Question is, who or what group invented cricket?
I'm under the impression it was invented in India.
Okay.
By whom? Undecided, I am. But I'm going to go with India.
Look, I can hear from you talking that this question is too difficult. So I'm going to make it a little bit easier for you. So fill in the blank.
Oh, is it the Earl of Cricket?
There is a consensus of expert opinion that cricket may have been invented during Saxon or Norman times by blank living in the Weald.
Weasels.
Is that your final answer?
Yes.
Weasels. No, unfortunately, I was looking for children. It's not. wasn't invented by weasels living in the Weald. It's invented by children.
All right.
Living in the Weald.
Children living in the woods?
Yes, in the woods near south of London. I think maybe that's where the Weald
is. Feral children.
Playing cricket with each other. Animals.
Four! Do you say four in cricket or is that golf?
That's definitely golf.
Whatever.
I get the idea.
Cheers.
Question three. No one can forget, Will, absolutely no one can forget the brilliant, I'm going to say dope time the kids had at Iogles.
It was an absolute dance. Dope fest.
Absolute dance time, an absolute dope time at the dance club owned by Iogles, Iogles Dance Club.
It was dope as hell.
It was really, really good. Well, the modern day residents of Moscow, they know how to party as well. It hasn't been forgotten.
Good.
It hasn't been lost in time. They know how to party in style, in fact. And there are a few more stylish places than Moscow's Soho Rooms Club.
Sounds dope as heck.
It's dope as heck. It's one of the most exclusive nightclubs in Moscow, quote.
Wow.
Where you can come across, quote, A-listers, top-class VIPs and famous celebrities from all over the world.
Who are you quoting?
I think it's like clubreview.com or something like that. I don't remember
nice.
Exactly.
Sounds good, though.
But that's some praise that's been heaped on Soho Rooms, one of the most expensive, wonderful places.
That's about money, is it?
In Moscow. Yeah. So, Will, to within 500 rubles.
Oh, God's sake. Modern day rubles.
This is modern day rubles, good. Yeah. How much is the entry fee to Moscow's most exclusive club, Soho Rooms? And I'll actually take the answer in rubles, modern day rubles, modern day pounds, or modern day dollars. You can choose.
Kind of you. I think I won't do it in rubles, actually, if that's all right.
That's fine.
I think it will be quite a lot. So I'm thinking maybe it will be perhaps £500 or maybe £2,000.
Okay.
I think to get into that place you said, Soho Rooms, I think it will set you back £487.
Okay. Well, okay.
Yeah.
Oh dear.
No, am I wrong? Am I?
It will. It will cost you, certainly in one currency, it'll cost you a few thousand.
Yes.
It'll cost
in rubles,
you 1,200 rubles.
Yes, okay. Yeah.
But unfortunately, owing to the exchange...
I've gone too high,
rate,
haven't I? I've gone too high.
Yeah. In pounds, that would just be £12.50.
It's not very much.
Or $17. Yeah, actually, getting in is quite cheap, but when you're in there, it's very, very expensive.
I see. They get you through the door.
They get you through the door, yeah.
Yeah. My method, you wouldn't go in.
You wouldn't go in. What do you say, £500?
It doesn't matter. It doesn't matter. I'm not going to argue that I get a point for that.
£12.50. But anyway, question four. Okay, well, it's question four. It's my final question.
Okay.
It's your final chance to win back all the points you lost.
It seems difficult, but I'll give it a go.
Do you want to gamble on this one?
Because I'm so down on my luck, Gov.
Yeah.
You're thinking, chuck the peasant a penny.
That's what I'm thinking, chuck the peasant a penny. I'm willing to offer you triple or nothing on this if you want.
Triple or nothing. We take it.
Okay, all right.
Onwards.
All right, so there's 1 point up for grabs, and you are also on 1 point, so you could triple that to 3 points.
Woo!
Or you could leave here, and so therefore the entire quiz with 0 points.
My choice, though, isn't it? I'm having
choice,
a good time.
And you've chosen to gamble.
Always gamble responsibly, but I'm enjoying myself.
Just like Nicky, kept on going.
Yeah.
And it went, stuff happened for him.
he actually experienced no repercussions. Remember?
His dad was sad, but yeah, sure.
Turned into a tomato.
And he was sad. His dad turned into a tomato.
Yeah.
Okay, here we go. For all your points.
It's tough, this. It's very stressful. Go on.
Will.
Yes.
As we've discussed, there really was a lot of wedding-y marriage stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And of course, this is the fourth season of War and Peace in just 7 years.
Yes.
And it's the fourth book of War and Peace.
Oh, what a coincidence.
But Weapon 7 and War and Peace, they aren't the only things to have featured a marriage and also have had four seasons.
Very, very interesting.
I'm, of course, referring to Smurfily Ever After, a special episode from season 4 of the 1980s cartoon The Smurfs.
I bet everything on this.
you bet everything on this question.
Yeah.
You knew there was going to be a Smurf question in this quiz.
I should have thought of that.
Anyway, look, you could win big. You don't know you don't know what the question is. Stay positive. Stay in there, champ.
You got this, buddy.
As you know, Will, Smurfily Ever After, the episode. It's a very special episode. It's got a special title sequence and everything. It tells a story of Woody and Laconia, who are a pair of local wood elves who decide to get married.
Cool.
Smurfette very kindly steps in and offers to arrange the, quote, wedding of the century.
Oh, that's nice.
But unfortunately, much like in War and Peace,
she dies.
No one ever dies. No one dies in
all
there.
Right.
A few things do go wrong, though, with the wedding.
Oh.
So, Will, for 1 point plus the 3 points, so for a maximum of 4 points.
Wow.
How does Woody and Laconia's wedding cake get destroyed?
The first light bulb in my abandoned brain is that of Greedy Smurf. Surely old Greedy Pops is there, nibbling away on it, eating it.
Okay.
I think Greedy Smurf is involved. I think those birds that...
birds?
There was Smurf birds before that took the Smurf berries. It was in one of your other stupid nonsense Smurf questions.
You're probably right.
There are birds involved. There's a cat, Gargamel's cat.
Okay.
There's a cat. There's Greedy Smurf.
Cats don't like cake, though.
They still jump on it and get cattle in it.
Yeah, okay.
Maybe Papa Smurf just... hits it.
Okay, there's lots of options.
What other is there such thing as a cake stealing Smurf?
I'll give you a hint.
Is it one of the witches?
Yes, I feel like you're spiraling.
These are all great guesses.
Breathe. Right. It's something to do with Gargamel.
Yeah, like I said, Gargamel's cat. All right.
It's not Gargamel's cat. It's something to do with Gargamel himself.
Yeah, Gargamel writes a spell to steal the cake with his powers. He steals it and eats it, and then he punches the elves, and it ruins their day.
Oh, it's so hard to know whether or not to give you the points.
He runs in going, "Gah, I hate bloody weddings." And he punches the elves, and he takes the cake, and then he sells it at a car boot sale.
All right, well, there's your guess. I'm not going to judge. I'm going to let you judge. We'll judge together at
it's
the
fair,
end.
It's fair if you let me judge. I'm going to view it positively.
We'll judge it together. Well,
right.
So you think that Gargamel runs in and he punches the cake for some reason, and then he takes it and he sells it at a car boot sale.
Because he hates weddings, yeah.
Because he hates weddings.
Yeah, yeah.
Okay, well, that's your guess. Let's hear what actually happened in Smurfily Ever After. What actually happens is Gargamel hypnotizes the Smurfs by playing a kind of spooky tune on the organ.
Very clever.
And so they all start to walk mindlessly into a cauldron of boiling water that he's set up in the, I guess, in the wedding chapel.
It's very elaborate, this.
I haven't seen it, I don't know.
Oh, he's undercover. As a wedding organist.
Yeah, something like that.
Smart guy.
Laconia isn't affected by the evil organ playing because she's a wood elf.
Poor planning.
I assume very poor planning. Often poor planning on his...
Close to the perfect plan, though.
And so unfortunately, she uses bits of her own wedding cake to block the organ pipes.
Right.
And eventually...
That's smart. They got the cake in the wedding.
Yeah.
In the church bit.
Yeah, I know. It's very
nonsense.
Modern. Very modern.
Very, very modern.
But they're pulling bits of cake from there to put in the organ pipes.
Right.
And unfortunately, the cake collapses right onto the rice catapult there.
Who left that there?
Which launches the whole cake, what's left of the cake.
Right.
Launches it up and it blocks. It falls into the cauldron that all the Smurfs are walking towards.
That's very lucky.
To cut a long story short, everyone's saved.
Oh, wow.
Papa Smurf finishes the ceremony. He declares them wood elf and wood wife. And a bird picks them up and carries them.
A what? I thought they didn't exist in Smurf land.
A bird carries them up and carries them off into the horizon.
Brilliant.
And what you said was Gargamel comes in, he punches the cake and he takes it away in a car boot sale.
He sells it, yeah.
So how many points do you think you should get?
None.
Okay, I think, unfortunately, I agree. Okay, well, you did excellent work there.
Thank you.
I'm just going to toss up the points. What's that? Do I take away? Anyway, look, you've got 0 points. Well done, mate.
I regret nothing. Round 4. Okay, Steve, it's the final round. It's very much all to play for.
That's what they say.
That's what they say on quizzes, don't they?
They do say that.
All right, mate, question 1. It's actually hard to forget that book 4 had a literal duel in it, where Pierre, as you said earlier on, shot Dolokhov in the woods, in the misty fog smoke, because he thought he'd been having an affair with his wife. Since then, I've been spending a lot of my time on this website, Henry Crank, everything for shooters and collectors.
.com. That's long.
It's a .com. It's sort of like an eBay, but for guns.
Okay. Sure, worrying.
Like, but like fancy antique guns.
Oh, old non-functional classy guns. You might have on your wall above your bear heads.
above my bear heads, there's my posh guns.
Posh cool guns.
Yeah. Well, look, when I was on this, I found this bad boy. Bear with me. It's a 40-bore Russian flintlock holster pistol circa 1825 with bright steel round barrel 13 centimeters, overall length 25 centimeters, lightly engraved bright steel lock, brass furniture in the French style, including sight to the front band, brass tang with Russian cipher N in Cyrillic, tang. Most likely from Emperor Nicholas the First.
Okay.
Were you listening?
Yeah, the tang and the most likely, but also,
but also this.
Brass.
It's a very fancy little gun. This
sounds good.
My question is this, Steve. How many packets of thin honey roast ham are of equal monetary value to this 40-bore Russian flintlock holster antique pistol?
And just to be clear, this is modern day value of the pistol, modern day value of ham.
It's good to check. Modern day ham, modern day pistol, but the pistol's an antique, but it's all modern, baby. It's all modern.
Okay, well, we haven't talked about ham for quite some time now.
We haven't, no.
But I feel like the standard that we all agreed on was that a packet of ham costs something in the region of £2.30.
Wow, oh right. Just straight out of the ether.
I'm thinking ham, that's the value of ham.
That's the value that you think this type of ham costs.
Now listen, the big variable though is got to be this gun.
There's always one thing you don't know, in these games.
I've never heard of this gun. I've never bought a gun. I've never even been on Barry's gunwebsite.com.
Barry's gun store.
Never been on it. So I'm going to say the gun that you're talking about costs £2,300.
Okay, so I'm going to make a note of all of your guesses. £2,300 for the gun.
And the ham is £2.30, and you can see I've chosen the numbers.
You've chosen nice numbers there. It's British wafer thin honey roast ham.
Look, I've made my bed, but it does sound like from that description the ham could be slightly cheaper than
cheap ham.
It sounds like cheap ham, but look, I've made my bed now. I can't go back. £2.30 for the ham. Correct. It says £2,300, so that's going to be 100 for the thingies, and there we go.
Excuse me, it's going to be what, mate? It's going to be 100, is it?
Okay, a thousand.
You're going to go with
a thousand. I'll go with a thousand, yeah.
You've made your hammy bed, you're lying it. So you're quite close with these numbers. You're wrong, obviously, so no points.
Okay.
But where you really fell was the price of that silly pistol thing.
Sure.
It's actually cheaper than you said. It's £1,250.
Bargain.
And the ham's also cheaper. It's cheap ham, Steve.
Oh, no.
It's £1.75 for this ham.
Oh, so my methodology could have actually worked.
You were close. So actually, I was looking for an answer of 714 packets of thin honey roast ham.
Of course you were.
Of course I was.
Yeah.
Question two. All right, Steve, we are now talking about the episode No Weddings and No Funeral. Now, our first actual marriage between Pierre and Helene didn't necessarily go to plan. Maybe she had an affair with Dolokhov. Maybe she's in love with her brother, Anatole. Who knows? What we do know is that Pierre sort of tried to kill her, but then she ran away.
It was quite bad,
a little bit intense. My question, what was Helene given in the divorce / not divorce, whatever.
Yeah. So,
what did she end up with?
She ended up with some of the estates.
I'm going to push you on this. I need to be quite specific because I'm not doing too well in this quiz, mate.
You've got no points. So
I'm going to be quite harsh.
You've got nothing really to lose or gain.
No, I'll be quite harsh. All right, you're in the right ballpark.
I think it was all of some collection of estates, all of the estates near Moscow, or all of the Petersburg estates, or all of the estates.
Look, Steve, I said it before, I say it again, your success is mine. I'm not going to take this point away from you. I'm going to give you the point. Look,
oh, that's very kind.
Here's the quote. A week later, Pierre gave his wife full power to control all his estates in Great Russia. But I like you, Steve. You can have a point, mate.
Yeah, okay. I think that's fair.
She did well out of it, but I think deservedly so, because he did seem like he was probably going to kill her with that thing. But,
Yeah.
Question three. from no weddings and no funeral to four weddings and a funeral. I am, of course, talking about the classic 1994 British romantic comedy film, which is about four weddings and exactly one funeral.
Yeah. Starring Hugh Grant.
It is. Very good, very good. You see, oh, bless. If only it was that, mate. I'm really pleased because okay. You got a character from a film.
That's all I know about the film.
Richard Curtis, the screenwriter, got the inspiration for this film whilst he was flipping through some old diaries and realised that he had been to how many weddings in 10 years?
Okay, it's either four or more.
It's either four or more.
Or none. Maybe no one likes him.
You'd be like, God, I haven't been to any weddings in 10 years. Hang on a sec.
How remarkable. Four weddings and a funeral.
It's done. And the whole film was written.
Oh, God, it's got to be a multiple of four. It's got to be either 440 or 400.
Yeah. What are you going for, buddy?
400.
400. It's high, guess, isn't it? It's a big number.
Do you think it's too many?
40 a year. It's not far off, one a week. It's close.
It's too many, you're
it's
right.
Like, it's basically one every 9 days.
You know, he's a famous, popular man. Maybe yeah. He's getting invited to celeb weddings or whatever.
Is your answer 400? You probably know it's
and
wrong.
And also, celebrities, they get married, they get divorced, they get married sure. again. So in 10 years, it's only about 6 or 7 people
you're
getting married.
You're going to stick with 400, are you?
Yeah.
Why not?
Yeah.
Why not? Unfortunately, that's not right. He had been to 72.
Oh, wow.
Which is quite high.
Oh, that's a lot. That's too many, isn't it?
That's a lot. No idea how many funerals. Look, if you're a big fan of four weddings and a funeral, that's why it was written, because he'd been to 72. Okay, Steve, question four. It's in two parts, this question. We're okay. Almost at the very end of the quiz.
Very, very tense quiz. Very,
very
close.
Very tense for you. It's very close. Steve, if there's one body part that Tolstoy loves, it's of course hands. Red hands, hairy hands, white hands, bony hands, wet hands, weak hands, strong hands, handy hands. Uh-huh. Hands.
Okay. Like an advert for hands.
It's an advert for all types of hands. Steve, for 1 point, how many times does the word hand, including the plural hands, but excluding hand-based actions like handing or handed,
okay.
appear in yeah. book four
yeah.
of War and Peace in the Morden, Alma Maud translation?
Sure, sure, sure.
How many times?
As if that matters to me. Which translation?
I want to be specific.
I've never even owned or looked or touched a different translation, or no, I couldn't tell you another one.
So, Steve, the number I'm looking for is just the number of times the word hands appears or hand
yeah.
in book four.
Absolutely.
Of War and Peace.
Yeah, a book I haven't even read all of.
You've read half, sure. though, and listened sure. to half.
You know, I feel like in book one, the answer's probably in the hundreds.
Right, okay.
Almost every line is
a big pair of hands walked just, in.
Wow, and he walked in, his hands were incredible, and he smiled, and his hands smiled.
In a way, his hands were happy.
In a way, you could tell he had hands, and they were smiling. But these days, rarely do we get new characters so much, and also, we don't often so much hear about their hands. So I don't think it's a huge amount. Obviously, people use their hands for stuff, so you yeah. can take that into account.
It's fascinating listening to this.
Anyway, look, I'll cut to cut a long story short.
Sure.
I'm going to say 38 times.
Steve, do you know what's a good sign here? It's a sign that you've grown as a person, because you didn't uh-huh. say 10,000.
Okay, yeah.
Did you? It's a shame. No, didn't say 10,000. You said 38, which is very sensible. Sensible man, sensible Stephen, incorrect Stephen.
Too sensible.
It's 57.
Oh, okay. I mean,
you weren't far away, but not close enough.
I had to get the exact number, did I?
I think so. Yeah.
Okay.
I'd have given you one either way, maybe. Okay. To put it into context, the word arm only appears 15 times.
Okay.
So it's definitely, you know, there's a push for hands there.
That is an interesting statistic.
Considering hands
right.
are at yeah. the end of what?
Yeah, arms.
So we're looking for 57 there. All right, Steve, it's the bonus point now.
Okay.
Which is very exciting, because it's also the last question yeah. of of our wonderful quiz.
What a quiz. What a tense quiz we've had.
What a tense and intense quiz we have had. Now, Steve, it's only fair for me to do this for you, buddy. I'm going to offer it to you. Would you like to gamble everything on the bonus question?
What a surprise.
You could gamble. Honestly, gamble it all. Double or quit. We're rounded up. We'll be nice to you. Your points are all decimally. Yeah. You just bet it all right now. You'd lose it all, of course, and could end up on zero.
Just to explain, so you're
don't worry about me, you just quiz for yourself.
Right. But if you're in my shoes, what's the point?
I'd be gambling because I'd be thinking, I wouldn't be thinking of the
You'd
person sat
gambling,
opposite. No,
yeah.
I wouldn't be thinking of that, Steve. Yeah. I'd be thinking of what score do I deserve to end on?
Yeah.
But surely you want your score to be as high as possible. I'm offering you a chance here to just double your score.
Okay, I hear what you're saying.
Incredible.
Nicky went all in. I respect the man for that.
Think of Nicky.
Nothing bad happened there.
Think of him.
You went all in. Nothing bad happened to you. So
no one's learned anything. No consequences. Steve, will you double or nothing?
I'll double or nothing, Will. I'm all in.
Fantastic. Stephen, according to the Guinness World Records, the living person with the largest hands in the world is Sultan Kosen, who was born in Turkey in 1982. His hand length is blank. Now, don't worry, I'm going to give you a bit more information. He is also the world's tallest man. He's 8'3". I would like the length of this chap's hand. Now, I will accept your answer in inches, centimetres, US shoe sizes, UK shoe sizes.
I'm not giving you
and
shoe sizes.
Pieces of ham. It is up to you. You can give me the
answer. Why would I give it you in shoe sizes?
In any that you like. You might like to think of it in terms of shoes or ham.
Why would
Or just normal measurements that you're familiar
with. I might give it you in ham. I'm not going to give it you in shoe sizes.
You don't have to.
Because we're talking about his hands.
We are. But I've done the maths.
Did he wear shoes on his hands?
He could have done.
Did he though?
Big hands.
Did he?
I guess I could wear small shoes on my hands. All I'm looking for really is just a correct answer, which is just the length of this guy's hand.
I'm going to say that his hands from stump to tip...
I wasn't expecting those words.
...are 33 centimetres.
33 centimetres.
Just over a foot.
Fine. Do you know what? Do you know how I could be nice to you? I could let you for free. You could answer in the other ones if you want as well.
Okay, I'll give it a go.
A UK shoe size you probably feel comfortable with more.
14.
A 14.
Yeah.
Does that exist?
All right, 12. Fine, 12.
A US shoe size.
14.
14. Yeah. Pieces of ham.
3.5.
3.5. And then inches. I'm being nice here, mate.
For 13.
13 inches.
Probably the same as the shoes, right?
Yeah.
Any of them right?
Steve, I'll let you be the judge of this because you were brave to bet everything. So inches, you said 13.
Yeah.
We were looking for 11.22.
I wouldn't have given you that, so
Fine. That's a no.
Yeah.
Centimetres, you said 33, I believe, something like that.
Yeah.
Yeah, 28.5.
I think not, no.
We'll say that's a no there.
I'd have given the 30.
Okay. Yeah, I think I'd as well. Shoe size US, you said 14, didn't you?
Yeah.
You did, yeah. This is where you're going to be a bit upset because that's 12.
Okay. Fine.
For the UK shoe size.
Wait, his hands weren't as big as I thought. I get it.
The UK shoe size, you said 12.
I get it.
It was 11.5.
He had small hands and I've lost everything. Fantastic.
He's got big hands, but you, Steve, have lost everything. It was 2.85 pieces of ham. I would have accepted nothing but the exact decimal amount of ham because you should have been able to work it out. That means, Steve, that unfortunately, at the end of this round, you have got, let me add them up, 0 points.
Okay, wow.
And that's the end of the quiz. Steve, usually we would be adding up the old pointies.
This has never happened.
Things have taken a turn for the worst. We don't necessarily need to add up the points, do we, Steve?
We probably should just still add them up, just to check there hasn't been a clerical error or
anything
like that.
That seems fair.
So I'm just going to add them up. All right, well, I've added it up.
Mm-hmm.
You got 0 points.
Oh, it was zero, wasn't it?
It was zero, you lost everything.
Okay, good to check. Good point, I'll check yours. All right, give me a sec. Okay, Steve, double checked them and you got 0 points.
Okay, well, there we go.
For the first time in Weapon 7 history, it is officially a draw.
It's the best result you've ever had. It's the worst result I've ever had. I hope you did better at home. I always hope that.
I always hope that too.
Work out your scores now, because this is how you did in the quiz. This is your result. You can put this on your wall.
On your fridge.
On your fridge.
On your head.
Put it on your head. Okay, so if you got between 0 and 9 points, that makes you Alexander the Third. That's the one that looks like a cannibal.
Yes.
Dressed as a scary cannibal. Mm-hmm. If you got between 10 and 20 points.
Right.
It's a strange system, but we're going to go with it.
Just go with it.
We're committed now.
Yeah.
That makes you Alexander the Second. And if you got anything over 21 points, which is how the system now works.
No, because you could get over a million at one point.
Yeah, so we'll cap the naming, though. We don't think we can go all the way
over
the naming.
We don't need to.
Anything 21 and over, that makes you Alexander the First, the most wonderful.
Handsome.
Perfect man.
Incredible.
Incredible, incredible emperor that we've ever had in this book so far.
Please let us know how you did. Thank you ever so much. We'll see you soon.
Thank you for listening to this episode of War and Peace in just 7 years.
Thank you.
I'm just going to say this. Do get on our Instagram. Have a look at those incredible Alexander emperors.
Do it.
At Weapon7 Podcast on Instagram. Can they do other things?
They could do so many things. They could send us an email, tolstoy@wapin7.com. And of course, you could get on our Patreon, patreon.com/wapin7. Get involved, support the show. We would love to both hear from you and to feel your support. And look, we'll be back next week with a special episode.
Oh yeah, special Patreon selected episode. So thank you to the Patreons who all submitted their suggestions. We'll be summarizing something selected by them next week. So all those links are in the description. Thank you so much for listening to this quiz, and we'll see you next week, and we'll see you in book 5.
Thanks very much. Bye.